Show presents Scratch a Track,
the podcast where we debate which track to scratch off some of the most known and unknown albums of all time.
We live in an era of singles.
This is an album.
People no longer listen to an album for the work it truly is.
It kind of defines a band.
It's just not something that people relate to nowadays.
We've all gotten the dreaded.
Started out as a game.
Which track on the album would you scratch out if you had to?
Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Scratch a Track podcast presented by the Dude and Grim Show. I am the Dude.
And I'm Grim, and we are here today to discuss Reflector by the Arcade Fire.
Damn, I'd be holding that up too.
Yeah.
It's a great vinyl.
It is, I love kind of like favorites. how it has that iridescence.
Yes.
You know, it actually sort of reflects.
And, it does reflect.
Yeah. What is this? The
fourth studio album.
I got to give the credit to you on this one for hipping me to this, because I didn't realize that they were coming out with this album when it did in fact come out. And then, you know, I listened to it and immediately I kind of felt like it was one that I would probably want to pick up on vinyl.
Yeah.
I think definitely. It might be my favorite Arcade Fire album. It's hard.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
It's hard to kind of top Funeral. Because Funeral had such a sound like I had never heard.
Dude. Yeah. It is tough for me to choose which one is my favorite. It's probably between this one and Funeral. I might go with Funeral, because there's just some songs on there that are just so unbelievably almost like epic. And for like a debut album, I mean, they had put out, I think, an EP before that, but for a debut album, man, like they kind of kicked ass and took some names on that one.
One put them in a different direction. And it talks for a lot about that in the background of recording the album, which is interesting. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's a secret that they were, if you've watched the documentary, Shut Up and Play the Hits, about LCD Sound System and their final shows, they had a lot of guest musicians that came with them. And I believe
Wynn
and Regine, but maybe some of the other members too, or the whole band, but they were
his brother Will,
perhaps as well. Will as well. So I think his production, when I heard he produced it, I'm like, okay, I get that immediately.
Yeah. Well, it's weird, man, because if you look at kind of the credits for this album, James Murphy gets credit for a bunch of songs as a producer. But then in an interview or it was on, if you go to James Murphy's like wiki page, and it talks about his working with Arcade Fire. He basically says, he was like, yeah, I didn't really do much. He was like, most of my work was on the song Awful Sound. And it's kind of
really?
Weird because I'm like,
that's the one I would have thought of the least.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was so strange because he doesn't get credit on all of them, but
a lot of them.
I'm just looking at them. I mean, it's almost all of them, but so does, what's his name? Marcus, I don't know if you say it, Draves. Who has been sort of their, I think, longtime producer, and he, produced the previous albums. So I'm not exactly sure what James Murphy, maybe he contributed some stuff or, they sent him some files. He worked on some stuff. I don't know how that kind of went. But I would be very interested to know, especially if other people out there, big Arcade Fire fans, if you guys have some more information. And definitely let us know after you go ahead and
like, subscribe, and comment below.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, please do that.
Mark it. Mm-hmm. And so, this is, I really like this album. And I think what's cool is, I don't know if I would say it's a complete left turn, but if you look at, Funeral and then Neon Bible and Suburbs, those are pretty, I feel like they're different albums, but they're, they're natural progressions.
Yeah, this was a little more of a, I don't want to say drastic, but kind of.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we are mixing it up a little bit. And I think kind of like what you were talking about and sort of alluding to, just the process of it and how it sounds like influential when Wynn and his wife Regine went to Haiti, where she's from, how inspired he was by kind of the music scene there. And they call it, was it Rara music? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Rara.
Rara, Rara, Rara. Ra 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 ra. Okay, no. But how influential that was, kind of in the creation of this album. But Wynn even said, though, he was like, you know, we weren't trying to play Haitian music. We were just trying to incorporate it into the sound. And man, it shines through. It yeah, really
it's,
does.
It's
in
really cool.
Very accentuating ways. It does.
Well, and him and Regine took a trip there apparently because her parents were Haitian immigrants.
Oh, okay.
So they took a trip to Haiti and he kind of was credited or noted as saying that, which I think is kind of interesting and a cool thing. And I think you kind of saw this with like Paul Simon Graceland in a way where he, Wynn said that he figured you had most of your really heavy musical influences kind of dialed in by like the age of 16, 17, 16, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But then all of a sudden you'd go somewhere and hear something that would just really be kind of life changing. And that's cool that this happened. And I'm sure that subsequently there's probably been a lot more influences once you open yourself up like that.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and you know, this is their fourth, and then Everything Now came out, which is their fifth. And supposedly they're working on a new album. I don't know. There's been no release date, but I'm looking forward to it. And I think if other people out there who are watching, if you guys have some info on what that is, if they've recorded, if they're mixing, like where the status of that is, let us know, because I'm really excited to see what they're going to come out with next, if it's new direction or something. But dude, you probably read about sort of the recording of this, how it was like most of it was done. They had like 60, I guess they said 60 song ideas that they, you know, kind of had written and recorded, but they did it like in Jamaica, like in an abandoned castle. Like, dude, I have never heard like a band doing that before.
Right? I know. Like, I would like to see, you know, footage of that, like similar to how there was footage of Kevin Parker doing Tame Impala, of them in this abandoned castle, because that sounds really interesting.
Well, so here's the thing is I had, so during, it's for Black Mirror, not Black Mirror, Neon Bible.
That's the first song on.
Right, yeah. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. But for Neon Bible, they had sort of a documentary, and it's more of that fly on the wall stuff that we've kind of been talking about, and some of the other, like meeting people as easy is more fly on the wall.
Yeah.
And then even that Bananas one, it sounds like for the Gorillaz, you said was a little more in that realm. They came out with one called Mirror Noir, and it is a little more abstract, and it has a lot of live performances and things like that. But then it also shows them just kind of in their, I don't want to say the studio, but where they're recording and stuff for Neon Bible. Now, there's another one that they created for another documentary called, I think it's like, I don't know what the name of it. I don't know if it is called like the Reflector Tapes or whatever, but I swear I had it, and it shows them, I believe, kind of during this process in time, kind of recording and doing stuff. Now, I really wish I had watched it before we had gone on this, but it was, it was one of those things that I bought a long time ago. And I think like something that came a part of it too, because you can download the Reflector Tapes, which is a couple of additional tracks for this album. Okay. But also they sent you like a cassette tape of like the tracks of the Reflector Tapes, and it's an actual tape. And I was
that's kind of cool.
You know, and I remember when I got it in the mail, I was like, what the hell? Like, I got a tape? What is this? And yeah, it was actually that. So
that's cool.
I need to watch that documentary again, because now that I read more about it, I was like, oh man, I'd love to see them recording like in a castle, right?
Yeah, I think that would be really interesting to see. And then a lot of other studios, four of which are in Montreal. And
where are they?
Maurice, this one called Dockside in Maurice, Louisiana. Like, that is interesting. I wouldn't have expected that.
They spend a lot of time down there. I mean, you know, it is kind of, I mean, you know, Montreal and, you know, Regine, I don't know. It's interesting. They're just an interesting band because they are, I believe, Montreal, I don't know, sort of based. A lot of their members are French. And then obviously there's a French, you know, influence in Louisiana.
You know, that's really true. I didn't think about that, but that's a really good point.
Yeah. So I know when there's like Mardi Gras and they've done things down there, you know, they've had shows and concerts. And so I think they have recorded a decent amount down there as well. But I just find it interesting. It was like, I've never heard of, like, you know, kind of like a band, certainly like this, being like, yeah, we're going to go to Jamaica and record an album. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Cool.
But dude, they had what, 60 song ideas? And I guess, yeah, they said 50 to 60 songs were written for this record.
Wow.
And initially they wanted to make it a short album. And then ultimately at the end, I think they said they ended up with like 18 songs that were between 6 and 8 minutes long. And they're like, well, that's not going to happen. So it just ended up being two discs. And I think the dude, that's cool, man. I really like that. It, you know, it is sort of a double disc. I mean, they have some really a couple of long songs on here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if, I haven't looked at putting the time together and see like how long, what did you say? It was 80 some minutes.
Well, on the CD? The CD version is 85:14 and the digital and vinyl is 75:12.
Right.
Cause like you were saying offline, there's this track zero.
Reflective Age.
I've never heard it.
So I hadn't really heard it either. And when I looked at the track listing, because I don't have this on CD. So when I looked at the track, and it's not on the vinyl. So,
well, yeah, but dude, remember when we were doing the Queens of the Stone Age one and they talked about having that like zero track where you have to like go to the beginning and then hit back to get to it.
Right. On the CD. Yeah, CD. I know. And so I went and searched. I just did a Google search. And then on YouTube, it kind of popped up and it sounded like a fan had either recorded it and it sounded like it was like a backward song. And then he flipped it around. And then it seemed to be snippets and different variations of tracks throughout the whole album. So if other people have an idea of what this Reflective Age is, it's a 10-minute track, and how it sounds and how to, I guess, access it on the CD, because I'm not seeing exactly how to access it either.
I think that's how you would do it.
Probably. So you start right at the beginning and hit back.
Yeah.
Initially when you put it in and you get to
track like zero. Like you hit. Yeah. Like you'd let it play for a second and you'd hit back and then hit back again.
Ah, cool.
Because the first back will get you to the beginning of the
beginning of that song
album. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'd definitely like to know and what it is and. Is it good? So.
Now, dude, this album apparently cost $1.6 million to make.
Okay. I have a very stupid comment. Is that a lot or a little to make an album? I have no idea.
To me, that seems like a ton of money. Like, should it's weird really?
Because you said in Jamaica, man, you said it was a really cheap place to rent. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, but dude. They still got to stay somewhere and they still got, I mean, it costs probably a lot.
They brought beds. Yeah.
I just, that seems like a lot to me. I mean, I don't know, maybe in today's terms it isn't, but that does seem like a lot of money to me to make an album.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a lot of members in the band, but I don't know. Yeah. I have no concept of like these days, like what it takes. Now I will say this. This I'm sure added to it. Most of it was recorded on analog tape.
Oh, and well, that is definitely going
to
add.
So, so there is that. If you have 50 to 60 songs, then, you know, ish rough songs. And then let's say 18 of those songs are between 6 and 8 minutes long. I can see that sort of
Yeah, and if they're legit recording in Jamaica, I mean, that's a lot of stuff to bring.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, hell, the travel involved in it probably ate up a good 100, 200 grand.
Yeah, exactly.
But then they got these, they had this promotional campaign that they had like some, what did they call it? Like a graffiti. The
guerrilla. Yeah.
Or guerrilla marketing campaign. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is kind of cool. I remember though reading some sort of, and I swear it was like an interview or something Trent Reznor said. Like he was sort of like, I don't know, maybe like making fun of it or whatnot, just kind of like, yeah, you know, there's people are doing some interesting marketing things, but then he's like, sometimes it's like too much. And he was like, I swear I was like hearing, I think he said something about hearing about, you know, the marketing for this album, like way ahead of, like it was just like just being built up and built up and built up like so much. And it was just, it just kind of became too much, but they did some cool things. They were doing what, the graffiti on certain walls and stuff. And
yeah,
just kind of getting the word out that way.
And I think that's kind of interesting, 'cause that is sort of a different tactic that you would take. So yeah, I think that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
What do you got?
I don't know.
Well, so I got nothing. Yeah. I mean, other than that, I mean, before we get into the,
I know, dude, releasing the first single, which is the title track under a band called The Reflectors.
The Reflectors.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think they had played or at least advertised some shows under that name. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, that's kind of cool. 'Cause I think even in the, if you open up the, you know, the vinyl, that
there's that picture.
It says like The Reflectors and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. And this, it did have, you know, now that I think about it, it did have a pretty big, you know, kind of like a grand marketing presence. 'Cause even when they played, was it SNL or something like that? They ended up playing like three songs. And I think one of them was like, at some point, or maybe it was, I don't know if it was SNL or if it was one of the late shows, but they ended up playing like on top of, you know, outside on top of like,
oh wow,
you know, wherever, I don't know, it was Letterman and stuff, and, you know, playing out in front of the street. I remember there being a live show on top of the Capitol Records. Like, man, it was,
oh wow,
it was just like boom, like, you know. But they were so hot at that point, man. They were really, really hot. Like, because they had had that kind of evolution of this small indie band, and then had a couple of, you know, hits and big songs that people had gotten into. And I think they even, you know, headlined. I saw them with Leifer. I don't know if you were there, and they headlined Lollapalooza one year. They were one of the headliners.
I don't think I was there for that. I would have remembered that. I would really like to see them live, but I have not.
I think that was the Suburbs year. So I saw them then. And then I saw them on this tour as well in Oakland, which was, I mean, dude, it was very cool. Very cool. So, but yeah, this sort of album was kind of inspired by this like 1959 film, Black Orpheus. Which really inspired like kind of the lyrics. And I have not seen this film, but it kind of, I guess it's set in like during a carnival in Brazil. And, you know, they say Orpheus is like the, you know, the Orpheus myth is the original love triangle. And it's sort of this like Romeo and Juliet type story.
Oh, interesting. So
I don't know much more than that about it, but yeah. This,
I do know that the cover art is... a sculpture by Auguste Rodin, and it's called Orpheus and Eurydice.
So it's very Venus de Milo kind of, isn't it?
Intravenous de Milo.
Intravenous de Milo. Yeah, definitely. Oh, good shit. Oh man. Where's an IV when you need it?
Dude, now there is, I think it was generally received pretty well. Actually, I see a lot of B's on it. It's an A in my book, but our band David Fricke has a pretty good comment that says it's a perfect summary of the group's still fervent indie-born hunger after a decade of mainstream success. Dude, Fricke is right on, man. That guy's
dude, I like him. David, if you're watching this, which obviously I'm sure you are, anytime you want to come on this show,
like, dude, drop it us would a line. Be an honor.
Dude, we'd love it. Let's go.
All glacial, you buddy. Ever had Let's to say glacial. Was that the Floyd went glacial. And I was just like, this guy's cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. Wow. So on that note, I think we can probably get into the tracks here, Mr. Graham.
Yeah, I think it's probably time, dude.
It's time, homie. It's time. Well, track number one, the self-titled track, Reflector. I remember hearing this for the first time. I was helping my friend Pamalama Ding Dong. We were moving her back to Boston. So packed her up and we were driving across the Bay Bridge from San Francisco to Oakland to drive her stuff all the way to like put it on a train. It was like a hard deal. But this song came and ironically enough, I don't know why. Oh, because I was in some rental car. It came on the radio. It was like, oh, the Arcade Fire's new single. It's like, oh, this is badass. Dude, it goes on for like 7 minutes. I know. Like, whoa, not expecting that.
Yeah. And
it was just so different, man.
I feel that with their sound, I feel like the first time I heard the song, I didn't know it was the Arcade Fire, but you knew it was because it sounded like them, but it also sounded fresh and kind of new.
Sure. I mean, Wynn has a pretty distinctive kind of voice. Like I think that's what I knew, but I was like, wow.
Well, man. And then Regine comes in and that kind of back and forth. She also is pretty distinct in her own right. And definitely. Doesn't she do some speak a little bit of French in this one too, which is kind of a dead giveaway because you know,
nobody else does that, but she does that in a bunch of songs,
yeah,
a bunch of songs. But yeah, Joan I mean, Bark. Yeah, what the definitely. Fuck is that but you know, again, throughout this album, there's songs where I feel like you know you're like, oh man, it has that. Now that they say it and kind of like I've read about it. You're like, oh man, it has a little bit of that Haitian touch, right? And you're like, oh man, there's just these like these little things to it, sort of the beat, kind of the use of the horns type feel. It just has that. And then there's parts that sort of kind of hit and rock a little bit.
Yeah.
But obviously the coolest thing about this song is David Bowie's on it.
I didn't know that, but then once I read it, I was like, I know exactly where he is.
Yeah, yeah.
You can hear it.
It takes a bit to get there, but towards the end, like he's just got that part. And he had, I don't know if they toured together, but he had performed, I believe he came out on stage and performed a few songs for them when they were pretty fresh on the scene.
That's cool.
They were pretty fresh on the scene. So it's awesome, man. It is really cool that Bowie's done that. I mean, he did that obviously. Even with, you know, Nine Inch Nails and Trent Reznor, pretty early on, and I would say like kind of his career. Downward Spiral ish, which was, I mean, it was,
yeah,
it was
a big I'm afraid deal, of Americans. But, that was the song.
Yeah. Well, he covered that, but I think he came out, God, I want to say it was Hurt. He might have come out and performed with Trent Reznor too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But Bowie's done some cool stuff. And I just think that's kind of badass, cause especially at the time. You know, you're this up and coming band, Bowie's like, "Hey, I like you." You know,
that says something.
He's kind of a big deal. Well, then we move on to We Exist, and dude, obviously, I mean, you don't even need to listen to it in headphones, but dude, I love how the opening two guitar, you know, it goes. I just think that's always really caught my attention. I've always loved that about this song, dude.
Yeah, there is something about some of these songs just have a really unique and interesting feel, and this is one of them. I think vocally it builds up and it's a good song.
Yeah, the bass certainly drives the song.
On
this one, and maybe this is actually we didn't really discuss this, but again, this is two discs, it's two CDs. And I feel like the two CDs are very different. I feel like this, to me, disc one is very, it's more a beat. It's got a little more rock to it. It kind of hits a little harder. I feel like disc two is a little more, it has its moments, but I feel like it's a little more spacey and subdued.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and We Exist is definitely one of those songs that kind of has, you know, it does kind of move and groove a little bit, so...
Flashbulb Eyes has always been a I'd put so that funky, on like man. Like a maybe a top three for this album for me.
Ooh, wow, wow. Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, that's what's interesting though. For a double album, it's what, 7 and 6? That's 13 songs. I mean, dude, we just did Gorillaz. And that's one album, 15 songs, you know? So yeah. here we go. Here's a double disc. That being said, there's a couple of pretty long songs on these. But,
yeah.
Dude, totally. Flashbulb Eyes, man. And is that like a xylophone? Is there a xylophone in there or something that they're playing? Or like a steel drum? I don't know what...
I don't know what it is,
but it is in the background. And again, this is kind of one of those songs that has a Haitian sort of feel to it.
You know, Regine plays an instrument called the ting tong. Could be that.
The ting tong.
I don't know this instrument, ting-tong. But I wanna look it up. But I, you know, from a content perspective, I don't know, but I'm wondering if this is kind of based on the idea, like, you know how they say that Aborigines in Australia won't let you take their picture because they feel like it steals part of their soul.
The soul, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
And I love how that's kind of quoted in Zoolander too.
There's that.
An Aboriginal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I was just kind of thinking, and I'm glad you brought that up because that makes sense. But I was kind of thinking that from their perspective at this point in their careers, you know, being somewhat famous, almost from like a paparazzi perspective, you're always being watched, right? Or people are trying to capture that moment and take something from you, mm-hmm. right? They're trying to start something, and so yeah, I think, and especially, you know, if you're famous, people are always snapping pictures of you. So, you know, I thought that could so be that
the ting tong kind of looks like some sort of an Asian like marimba. So to
that's
speaker.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So a marimba's, you know, a malleted instrument, but they're wood. They're hardwood.
I imagine that's what it is in this song. Then we move on to Here Comes the Nighttime, part one.
Oh, dude, I love how this like starts in double speed and slows down. Right? That is right? Really,
yeah,
really awesome,
dude. Very cool. I'm a big fan of that as well. And then I'm curious if this. I don't know why I think of it, but it almost does have like sort of this Mardi Gras type feel, like a party kind of type feel to it. So I'm wondering if this was one of the ones they maybe did in Louisiana or. Kind of was written or inspired by their time down there. This
is a very subtle thing, but there's that, and again, maybe it's the ting tong. I don't know, but that bit that goes da-da-da-da-da-da. And sometimes when they're playing those, it's like a tape delay that starts to like slow down as they kind of, and I really like that.
Yeah.
Which they were using tape, but all this makes sense.
So much sense. Now we get to track five, dude. This is one of my favorite songs.
Probably my number one.
Yeah, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Dude,
just it, the way it kind of builds and builds and then boom, it hit like it just explodes at that part. It just,
I think, and I like how it starts out and they make it sound like they're at a live show.
Yeah.
And he's kind of talking it's awkwardly like, on the mic. He's like, thanks for coming out.
Exactly.
He's like, I like that.
I like rock and roll music. Yeah. I don't know if I do. Great rock riff, man. And it's also kind of funny. I also like the words. Like, it's almost
I love it.
Like, not knowing if you're a normal person. Like, what's a normal person? Am I normal? Like, you know.
Well, and just this idea where they, I think, meaning society, it's like they will break you down until everything is normal now. I mean, and you can make arguments for some of these things depending on what societal issue or issues you're talking about.
Concerned.
What the fuck is that shit?
No, I'm with it, man. I hear you. Yeah, I think... I'm trying to think of a song that I like better. Like,
I know.
Sometimes here's the thing. Probably none.
Pretty sweet.
Because I will put this album on sometimes just to hear this song. Or I'll just.
Oh, yeah.
Like sometimes if I'm like, I just want to hear a song, like, I'll put Normal Person on. I'm just like, oh, I can listen to it as a one-off.
Oh, so. Yeah, for sure. And I just, there's a lot of passion in it. And I've thought about it because I think when I was first listening to this, I was still like playing with the band. And I really thought about covering this song. Like,
Oh, yeah, dude.
He's such a good one.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Then we move on to Already. You Already Know.
Yeah.
And again, dude, there's. I feel like, and I don't. Maybe that's not the Haitian thing. I don't really know, or the inspiration, but there is. You know, it starts off and it's got this kind of like funky and bass driven start to it, and it's just they've never done that before.
I know
that's they're all a big melody and stuff.
Well, even then they have sort of that weird beginning where that person's like Arcade Fire, you know.
I like
how they kind of do some of that stuff to give it this just almost live feel.
Yeah. Well then. The last track on this disc is Joan of Arc. And this one's like this, the way it starts is really raw. Right. And it starts off like really kind of like fast and strong, but it's really, really raw. And then, you know, it gets into that sort of good, like a really good groove. And then, you know, Regine, I think, you know, she has some French parts, which, is very, I mean, I don't know French. I do not know French. I took it in college. I tried to, and I failed. And yeah, it was not a good thing. But so a lot of times I don't know what she's saying, but I'm like, wow. I mean, that's one of the telltales. It's like, oh, is this the Arcade Fire? Oh, okay. No, somebody's speaking French. Yeah. Okay. It is. But there's, I don't know. It's just a good kind of rock song, I guess. I mean, it's an interesting way to end, I think, the first side. And then things really transition over into disc two.
I agree.
First of all, it's Here Comes the Nighttime, part two.
Part two.
Part two. Or how do they say it? Do. Part do.
Do.
Undo.
Like hash ass.
Yeah. Part do. But it's so different than the first one. At least,
oh, I know.
At least to me, it is. Now, I don't. Are there to you into your musical ears? Are
there musically, sort of there's similarities. There's, yeah, for sure. Okay. But yeah, they take that musical theme and everything around it is pretty different, which is cool. I mean, that's what people would probably argue you should do with something like that,
right?
So.
Yeah, it's much darker too. It's darker, it's slower. And it's also interesting, like it slowly fades in too. Like it's a pretty long fade in.
Yeah.
It's almost like it just kind of comes out of nowhere. So now this is the next one. Awful Sound.
Awful Sound.
Oh, what is it? Oh,
Eurydice. Oh, Eurydice. Yeah.
So this is the one, though, that James Murphy said that he kind of had the most, I guess, influence on, or felt like he did the most on. I don't know if he's just kind of not taking credit, because he gets credit throughout, you know, the whole, you know, if you look at the production credits. But this is the one he said he did the most. But yeah, dude, it has like, you know, I guess I would call it the Haitian type drumming, and the bass really, really drives kind of the song in the beginning. It's again, it's very different than anything on disc one.
Yeah, and it has kind of sort of that descending string sound, which a lot of things build off of. But yeah, it is completely different than anything off of disc one.
Well, and I even feel like, so there's this contrast between, I guess, the drums on the song. And then the tempo at which he sings, they kind of don't match. But I'm okay with it. But they kind of don't match. Like it's almost like it doesn't fit. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's never over.
It's never over. Hey Orpheus.
Hey Orpheus.
Hey Orpheus. Dude, they really utilized the shit out of the parens here in this. All these songs, in these two songs. Is there
another parens? The whole Orpheus and Eurydice. I mean, dude.
Indeed.
They really, yeah.
I feel like this is
a deep dive. Yeah.
Well, dude, this song, again, almost similar to Here Comes the Nighttime too. You know, it fades in, and there's a part of me that's like, it feels like it was almost like a part of something else.
Oh, sure. Well, it may well have been if you got 60 song ideas, right?
Exactly. That's possible. But yeah, there's the, again, obviously the reference to Orpheus, which is very influential on the album.
Yeah.
But this is, so Regine, you know, on, what is it, on Funeral, she has Haiti. And then on, what is it, Suburbs, she has the Urban Sprawl Part 2, Mountains to Mountains, or Mountains Beyond Mountains, whatever it is. You know, she kind of usually gets one song an album. Now, this isn't, she doesn't get a full song here, but I feel like this is more of a duet between her and Wynn. They kind of go back and forth a little more.
Well, you can kind of argue that about Reflector, too, to a degree.
Mm.
Which, by the way, we didn't talk about, but have you seen the video for it?
I think I saw it a long time ago. Do they have like big heads or something?
Yes, I love that. It's just so kind of goofy. They're just like, they're in this band with these big fake plastic heads. It's like, it reminds me of like DK mode when you're playing like 007 on N64.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Graham, let's go watch a porno.
Yeah. Dude, I know that this has got to be in the top three for me. I just, that synth.
Dude, it's so pulsating, right?
It's cool.
I feel like, okay, so here's the thing. I feel like that's very James Murphy.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why when I said, you know, when you listen to a lot of this album, you feel like you can hear some of this influence, and that's why it's weird that he took the most credit for Awful Sound, which is the one I would have never thought of.
Right. Dude, this song, and to me, this song too, God, you know, there's probably, I'm like, I don't know if it has like a New York feel, because I think James Murphy's very New York, but it has this dark, like dark city summer night feel to it.
Dude, it's like you feel dirty listening to it. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Definitely. But I really like it. I just, something about that perfect pulsating of the synth and how it keeps time with the beat is, I'm into that.
So into that. All right, Graham. Afterlife. This is another one I feel like it has a James Murphy, because there's like that anytime you hear like this, that thick, kind of bouncy synth that you know, sort of has, I'm like, that's such like a
LCD, you know, LCD sound system.
LCD sound system sound. So this is this is another one of those where I just feel like it just kind of has that feel to it. But excuse me.
And Super Symmetry rounds out
the album. It does. Dude, I mean, an 11-minute song to round out the album. Now, again, it's, I love the kind of feel and the atmosphere around this song. It's very spacey. And, you know, originally they made it for the soundtrack to the movie Her, Spike Jonze's movie.
Interesting. With
Joaquin Phoenix. And so, and you do hear it in the movie, and it's, I'm not sure if it's, I think what I read is like what's in the movie is a different version than this, but it's kind of really hard to tell. But it's sort of towards the end, right at the end. I'm not going to give the ending away, but it is right at the end. And then it kind of rolls into the credits. And I mean, first of all, if you haven't seen that movie, it's badass. I think you haven't seen it yet, Grim. Dude, definitely check it out. It's so good, man.
I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of movies, but it's all right. I haven't listened to a lot of music.
I've seen the one that's on your shirt, though.
Yes. Jingo. No, it's not Jingo. It's Once Upon a Time.
That's what I was going to say. I thought, it reminds me,
Kill the Gringo, said Ringo, or something like that.
Yeah.
There's. I thought that's what it was, and then I watched Once Upon a Time again, like a few weeks ago, and it said something else. So I'm trying to remember what it is. But anyways. But dude, I think it's cool that Arcade Fire has a relationship kind of with Spike Jonze, because he did some of the music videos for The Suburbs. And it's so cool that some of these musicians and directors that we like are kind of have these collaborations, like Paul Thomas Anderson and Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's such a,
they're all artists and they respect someone else's work, and visual art and music tend to go well together, right?
Image and sound, man. I'm a big fan. All right, Grim. You know, so here's the thing. Typically, this is a double album. Typically, we scratch one on each disc, but I feel like each disc is so short. I know. This is different.
This isn't the White Album.
No, it's not.
And there's, dude, there's only, what, 13 songs total, which, again, we did a single album last week that had more than that. So,
I think you're first on the tee. I'm worried we're going to go into overtime on this one.
Oh, are you now?
I am.
Well,
all right, hit it.
Supersymmetry.
Ooh. Okay, we're not. So why? Just it's so long.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it would be fine. Because at the end of it, it's like they play some part of the song, but it's like quieter.
And then,
and I to me, it's like it just doesn't really come to any sort of thing that I would feel is a good conclusion.
That's fair. Okay.
And 11 minutes is, dude, it if you're in just, that territory, man, you better be pulling like some Shine On You crazy diamond parts 1 through 5 or 6 through 9 shit, because that ain't it. No offense.
It's not. All right.
Not that it's a bad song, but.
So one song that I like it, but maybe it doesn't fit the album, or I don't understand the feeling, and not that I don't know. I guess I'd say there's. I mean, I guess there's this theme with Orpheus and, you know, all that stuff. There is that, like it has that, but the Joan of Arc, like maybe I just don't, maybe
that I just was kind of my runner up.
I don't dislike it, but I'm just kind of like, does it really fit? Do you need it? I don't know.
I understand what you mean. That was my scratch runner up. If we went into OT, that was my.
And musically, there's nothing unique that kind of stands out. It's just like a straightforward.
Yeah, and it's a fine song, but yeah, it certainly doesn't grab Jonah me like normal Ooh. Person or here comes the nighttime or.
Yeah. Here it comes. Yeah. The nighttime is the right time.
The nighttime. Or even here comes the nighttime part two. Duh.
All right.
Well,
duh. Well, duh. I think it's time to go. Not on the Dude Ranch show yet, though, because we want to know, one, all right, what's your favorite song, though, Grim? I forgot to ask you. Do I know your favorite song? Is it Normal Person? That's probably.
Yeah, this is kind of a hard one, though. Like, some you can easily. It has to be Normal Person, but I mean, right, I always think of this one as like a B? Top three.
You have a B?
Dude, Normal Person. Probably Flashball Eyes and Porno.
Yeah. I'd probably go with Normal Person, We Exist.
Most
of them come off the first disc, though.
I know. The only one off the second one is Porno, because that is just such a trippy song.
It is a trippy song. All right. Well, hey, everyone. Please let us know your favorite song, the song you would scratch if you had to scratch. And we have. Is this our first arcade?
While you're doing that, I mean, please drop us a line. Go ahead and do the old
like, subscribe, and comment below.
I think this is our first Arcade Fire album we've done. How is that? We are 130 episodes in, and that's crazy.
Thing is, there's just a lot of really good music out there, and it's not to say that you're ranking anything or something's better than others. But there's still a lot of bands that I really want to get into that we haven't done.
Exactly. So let us know if there's some other bands you guys would like us to talk about. And we'll add it to the list. Maybe even give you a shout out. Who's to say?
Oh, yeah. Dude, we always like to give people shout outs who kind of introduced us to the music. So
Exactly.
This is your chance.
This is our concern, dude. All right. Well, on that note, time to go. The Dude and the Grim.
Scratcher Track is produced by the Dude and Grim. Additional music provided by Moore and the Tims. Copyright 2021, The Dude and Grim Show.